This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. In the last decade, robots have permeated many areas of our life, from little round robot vacuum cleaners that know exactly where a piece of dirt is, to robotic arms used in cardiovascular surgery, or robots being tested in self-driving cars. For Los Altos resident Henry Evans, they're helping him to do things he thought he'd never do again, like shave his beard, get a beer from the fridge, feed his dog, or visit his kids at college. 12 years ago, a serious stroke left Evans paralyzed and unable to speak. Yet he's busy developing and testing robots designed to extend the capabilities of people with disabilities. Evans calls his creations Robots for Humanity. KALW's Angela Johnston has his story.
Henry Evans and his wife, Jane, live high up in the Los Altos foothills. To get here, you have to drive up twisting roads with steep switchback turns. On a Thursday morning 12 years ago, Henry drove up these same roads after dropping his children off at school.
We had a very busy life, raising 4 kids. My husband was a CFO for a startup company.
That's Jane Evans, Henry's wife.
And then my husband suffered what they call a brainstem dissection. It's a very rare type of stroke, but it left him completely paralyzed and mute. And as Henry described to me, he woke up and felt like he was cemented in his body, literally cemented.
But now, with help from technology, Henry feels free. Today, he meets me in the driveway using a robot called the Beam.
Welcome, Angela.
The Beam is basically a big computer monitor with a webcam attached to a small base by 2 poles. Henry's face fills the screen. Henry's controlling the robot from a computer in his bedroom. He has an eye tracker on his glasses that acts as a cursor, and he has just enough movement in one of his hands to click a mouse. A message on the screen reads, "Follow me." So I do.
Angela, I'm so impressed. You're right on time.
Jane opens the door for us, leads us down a narrow hallway past family photos and a shelf of homemade wine. The Beam rolls behind us until we reach Henry's room. He's sitting up in bed, grinning. A lot has changed since Henry's stroke.
My day starts with my caregiver, which is often my wife, emptying my catheter bag, brushing my teeth, feeding me breakfast and giving me a shower.
That's Henry, talking to me with a text-to-voice program on his computer. He types his responses using his head tracker, slowly moving his head up and down, side to side, sliding the cursor over a digital keyboard.
The best part of the day is getting on the computer, because in cyberspace, everyone is on equal terms.
This is the motivation for Henry's work, to help people with disabilities become more independent, more equal. The robots and machines he's developed, invented, and tested are simple. He's worked on everything from a laser pointer head switch that can turn the lights on and off, to a bed that he can move up and down, to drones that he can fly around his backyard, inspecting his solar panels or the grapes he and his wife are growing behind the house.
So tell me about the first time you were able to fly a drone outside. What was that like?
The first time I flew a drone outside, I felt a combination of amazement, freedom, independence, and enjoyment. And then I crashed.
He works on his ideas, called Robots for Humanity, with friends, family, professors, and scientists around the country. The biggest collaboration was with a now-defunct robotics lab in Menlo Park, robotics researchers at Georgia Tech, and their robot called the PR2. Henry first saw it on CNN one day.
And I immediately imagined using it as a body surrogate.
A body surrogate. That means Henry could control the robot to do things he can't. When the lab disbanded, the PR2 moved in with Henry and Jane. It'll be living with them for the next 5 years. During that time, the Georgia Tech researchers will test how it can work with caregivers and help people with disabilities.
Yeah, I'd love to see the PR2.
Let's go. Let's go see it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the robot right there. That's it. It's about 400 pounds, big guy.
It's white and silver with metal arms coated in a soft gray skin-like material. And it has a strong, muscular torso. The two cameras on its short, swiveling head look like big black eyes. It looks friendly. Jane says Amber the dog sleeps next to the PR2. And I did feel like I was meeting another one of the Evans pets. And when you shake its two-pronged hand, it moves just like a human's.
Wow, its movement is so fluid.
You can hear the noise even. And it's got joints, like where our wrist is, our elbow is, you know.
In the Evans household, this robot has delivered Halloween candy to kids, taken pizza from a delivery guy, gotten beer from the fridge. The researchers are teaching the robot how to feed Henry yogurt. Even though Henry feels like he's trapped in his own body, with technology and his mind, he can go anywhere he wants. Into labs to talk to people who are helping him invent things, or to art galleries around the world.
I am currently involved in numerous ongoing projects with researchers from almost a dozen universities. The one project I will talk about is the world tour of museums for quadriplegics that I am organizing.
A virtual world tour of museums for quadriplegics. Jane Evans says this independence is priceless.
And I really truly believe that is why Henry is so healthy today, is because his mind is active. He's soaring. He's soaring.
Do you want to go to Rhode Island now?
Well, I wish I could travel.
At first, I was confused by this question. But before I can ask, we're off, moving around inside a robotics lab at Brown University, Henry leading the way. In Los Altos and Rhode Island, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.